And this is an example of big money and government by Prince Andrew putting its thumb on what goes on with this commission.
And anything that jeopardizes the progress we've made on clean cars, we will fight back on.
Tonight is really a historic night here to help the city center and help the downtown of Saratoga Springs.
And this is my way of bringing accountability right to the people of our city.
Hey there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, New York State debates the future of fusion voting. We speak with the New York State ENCON Commissioner. Saratoga Springs moves ahead with a downtown parking garage after decades of discussion. And the Pittsfield mayoral field is winnowed in the preliminary election. Tempers flared at a public hearing of a commission formed to enact a public campaign financing system for New York this week. But the tensions centered not on that proposal, but rather the commission's decision to also consider whether to end fusion voting, which allows candidates to run on multiple ballot lines. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt reports.
A story in Politico reported that commission member Jay Jacobs, who's also head of the state's Democratic Party, was actively recruiting opponents of fusion voting to come testify to counterbalance an anticipated number of speakers who support the practice. Jacobs was appointed to the commission by Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo's had a long feud with the leaders of one minor party, the Working Families Party. It's a progressive-leaning group that initially endorsed Cuomo's primary challenger, Cynthia Nixon, in the 2018 elections. In March, Jacob shepherded a non-binding resolution through the state's Democratic Party to ban fusion voting. Working Families Party committee member Susan Weber, during testimony, confronted Jacobs about the news story.
And this is an example of big money and government by Prince Andrew putting its thumb on what goes on with this commission. And I'm very, very upset, and I hope that you haven't done this in every other place where the testimony looks like it's going in favor of fusion voting.
Jacobs responded, saying that the Working Families Party was also drumming up support for its position.
I am in receipt of several emails from the Working Family Party calling on people to come and testify.
You are the chair of this committee.
No, I am not the chair. I am a member of the commission. Yes. I am answering. You spoke. I am now going to respond to you.
Jacob says he did not send out emails, but that people contacted him wanting to speak against fusion voting. And he denies that the commission is trying to get rid of an inconvenient third party.
People are here making the narrative that this is about the Working Family Party, and it is not. This is about fusion voting. This is about the process that is, in many areas of the state, as unpleasantly corrupting as other aspects of campaign finance and the rest are in the state.
The state's conservative party also accused the commission of trying to artificially gin up public testimony from party subordinates, saying in a statement that the fix is in. Both parties have filed lawsuits against the commission. Governor Cuomo, at a news conference in New York City on an unrelated topic, says he didn't see the article, but he doesn't see anything wrong with recruiting speakers.
I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary that people try to get people to go to a hearing.
Jacobs has said he'll keep an open mind on the issue, and Cuomo has refused to take a public stand on whether to continue fusion voting in the future, saying it's up to the commission to decide. Jessica Wisniewski of Citizen Action, who is for fusion voting, urged the commission members to act independently.
I fear for all of you that in the 11th hour you'll get the call from the people who appointed you to say, "We figured it out. Here's what's going to happen, right? Here's what we need you to do." I implore you to use your knowledge that you bring to this and the knowledge you hear to do what is best for the people of New York.
The commission will issue its decision in December on whether to end fusion voting, as well as a plan for public financing of political campaigns. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
New York's top environmental official is criticizing the Trump administration for revoking California's authority to set auto mileage standards that are stricter than those issued by federal regulators. In a tweet, the president said the action would result in less expensive, safer cars. Basil Sagos, commissioner of New York's Department of Environmental Conservation, discussed the state's reaction and some other high-profile issues with WAMC North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley.
This is, of course, what we have come to expect out of this White House. They've done everything to undermine all of the positive actions undertaken over the prior, administration or series of administrations, whether it's air, water, endangered species. This just, to me, feels gratuitous. You know, you're going after, decades of progress that we've made through working with California on these standards. And the governor today rightly spoke out and brought the U.S. Climate Alliance along for a very public statement condemning what the Trump administration has done. We're at a point right now where we have critical decisions to make on our environment, and particularly on climate change. And there is no sense in going backwards on emissions, making cars less clean. Transportation is the biggest source of emissions, certainly here in New York. And anything that jeopardizes the progress we've made on clean cars, we will fight back on.
Do you know what options the states have in the wake of this revocation?
Well, the governor has been convening, obviously, a long-standing dialogue with the states who are part of the U.S. Climate Alliance. We are certainly looking at defending California's program and taking that all the way to court if necessary.
Do you have an update on the Hudson River EPA lawsuit?
Mm-hmm. Well, as you may know, we filed our lawsuit about a month ago. We are challenging the EPA's determination that General Electric did a cleanup worthy enough to receive a certificate of completion. We've not yet seen any movement in court. It is early on in the process. But we feel very strongly that our position is sound. It's based on science. We've spent millions of dollars to understand exactly what the pollution pressures are in the Hudson River, and that despite the fact that the General Electric, under EPA's guidance, conducted many years of dredging, they still left an enormous amount of PCBs in the river. And our estimates and frankly the estimates from the EPA suggest that it's going to be another 50 plus years before the river recovers enough to be able to eat fish. And that is just unacceptable. We're going to challenge it all the way as far as necessary in court.
We've got another emerging contaminant that people are concerned about, and we've got more PFAS discovered on military bases. How are you addressing that?
Well, we're addressing it as aggressively as possible. This is a nationwide problem that it's largely connected to the Air Force and Air National Guard operations in all the 50 states. The Department of Defense has a huge burden on its back to characterize the problem and B, begin addressing it. In New York, we're somewhat fortunate where we have a few of these situations with groundwater contamination, like at Fort Drum. No one is drinking that water. That's effectively offline. The Water Quality Rapid Response team that the governor convened here, and I sit on it with the health commissioner. Where we have found a problem, we have acted. You may know, obviously, of course, of Newburgh, where Stewart Air National Guard Base had caused the pollution of a nearby reservoir that feeds the city of Newburgh. And we've spent literally tens of millions of dollars to begin fixing that problem. And we're fixing the federal government's problem in that case, and we intend to go after them for those dollars spent. So we are taking this very seriously, and the military is – the Department of Defense has been going more slowly than we would like at Stewart. Some of the other Air National Guard bases and former air bases have those problems, but as of yet, we don't see a connection to human health.
That's New York NCON Commissioner Basil Sagos speaking with our Pat Bradley. While the City Council in Saratoga Springs has approved a new downtown parking garage, the structure has been the subject of discussion in the Spa City for decades. WAMC's Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard reports.
By a unanimous vote, the Saratoga Springs City Council ended years of debate over a downtown parking structure. The garage will serve the publicly owned Saratoga Springs City Center. Mayor Meg Kelly, a Democrat, called for the vote.
Tonight is really a historic night here to help the city center and help the downtown of Saratoga Springs. So that's all I'm going to say. I want to take this vote because it needs to happen. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention. The matter passes.
The 600-space multi-story structure, along with a lease agreement with the City Center Authority, were both approved for the city-owned lot that currently has about 220 spaces. Previous proposals for the structure have been tied up with lawsuits, and arguments have persisted for decades. Mayor Kelly said records show the City Council was discussing a downtown garage as far back as 1992. Attorney Matthew Jones, Development Counsel for and former member of the City Center Authority, recalled serving on a task force to explore parking options in 1980.
Six of us jumped in a car and drove to Utica in May of 1980 to get an understanding of what a municipal garage would be like and what it would cost and what the upkeep was, because we were being told that in order to build a convention center, you needed a garage to go with it.
But the group argued all the way home. And in the four decades since, downtown parking has become a premium. A public hearing for the parking structure Tuesday night was the second for this project in particular. Some community residents voiced their objections. Art Holmberg, chair of the group Sustainable Saratoga, prefaced his comments by saying the organization has never opposed the concept of a city center parking structure. The group has offered comments over the last 6 years.
The structure is not set back a minimum of 50 feet from the street property line or a public right-of-way line. The street level first floor uses are not civic or commercial spaces that are intended to create vibrant streetscapes. The pedestrian bridge over Maple Avenue counters smart growth principles that strive to keep pedestrians at the street level. And finally, very few green infrastructure elements have been included in this project. What a missed opportunity.
City Attorney Vince DeLeonardis responded to some objections that the project had been rushed through the City Council.
The City Council has long resolved that the fiscal viability, the operation and the growth of the city center is to the benefit of all of the citizens of Saratoga Springs. And I also want to recollect that the comprehensive plan itself expressly provides that the city and the authority are to work cooperatively to, quote, ensure there is adequate parking to enable the city center to continue to attract meetings, weddings, and conventions to our downtown. I also want to remind both the council and the public that while there have been numerous iterations of proposed parking facilities over the years, and quite frankly, over the decades, this most recent proposal was first developed as part of a concept plan with a committee established by the mayor and was first presented to the public more than a year ago.
The lease agreement agreed upon Tuesday night initially runs for 12 years.
After which the lease will be extended to coincide with any extension of the city center lease or for a period of 25 years. The city will be provided with 60 parking spaces and also will enjoy any excess cash revenue.
Details of how much the city center plans to charge for use of the garage have yet to be decided. For WAMC News, I'm Southern Adirondack Bureau Chief Lucas Willard.
Following her preliminary election victory on Tuesday, Pittsfield, Massachusetts mayoral candidate Melissa Mazzio announced two endorsements on the steps of City Hall. WAMC's Berkshire Bureau Chief Josh Landes was there.
In unofficial city tallies, Mazzio secured first place with 2,860 votes to first-term Mayor Linda Tyer's 2,571 in the preliminary election. The top two vote-getters advanced to November's general election.
As you can all imagine, I'm thrilled to be continuing our campaign's journey. And last night's results, I believe, tell a story of a city looking for something out of the corner office. Accountability. I stand here today with two others who felt very strong about that word and what it would mean to have a mayor who each and every day cares deeply about how your tax dollars are being spent.
The 10-year city council veteran was joined by retired cop Karen Kalinowski and businessman Scott Graves, her former electoral rivals who were eliminated from the general election Tuesday.
Having started this journey, not knowing either one of them very well, I now know that Karen and Scott are genuine, hardworking people who above all love our city and want to see it reach its potential. It's because we share this belief so strongly that we agreed to support each other after the primary. So to that end, I am pleased to announce that Karen and Scott have endorsed my campaign and will be working with Team Mazzeo going forward.
Mazzeo said the agreement was formally made after a candidate mixer earlier in September, but that an alliance began to form from the very first candidate's debate in August. Mazzeo says the two share her frustration with the city's direction.
Their frustration is what drove them to run. This was a big deal to come out and run for mayor and put yourself out there, as they both have done. And they've done an amazing job. And people walked away from that very first debate saying, he's got great ideas, she's got great ideas. And I said, absolutely. There's so much that's going on in the city that people are looking for, and it's exactly what our platform is built on.
Well, I just believe that she has my beliefs.
Graves.
I want to take care of crime and help strengthen the city and make it grow moving forward, and hopefully also really focus on business and getting more businesses here and existing ones to expand.
Even at the beginning, I knew that me and Melissa had some of the same things when it came to schools, the accountability of the administration.
Kalinowski.
The city streets, as she knows from 10 years on the council, the problems that we've had, and with the crime in the area. So I believe that, you know, working together, hopefully we can get those things taken care of in the city.
Tyre spoke to WAMC minutes later inside City Hall after Mazzeo's press conference and pointed to her own support.
What I'm the most proud of is that I've been endorsed by the Massachusetts Women's Political Caucus, which is a state organization that advances women in politics. So I'm proud to have earned that endorsement through a competitive application and interview process. I'm also happy that I have the endorsement of several members of the City Council who share the same values of collaboration and problem solving that I bring to this work every day.
The mayor pushed back against the charge that her administration hasn't supported small businesses while courting large companies from out of the area, like online retailer Wayfair.
We have supported 23 small businesses that are here in the city of Pittsfield in the last 4 years. So yes, Wayfair is coming from outside of our region, and this is great news for people, for job seekers. It's great news for the city of Pittsfield. But we've also supported businesses like LTI Smart Glass, and we helped open Green Apple Linens. We've helped to support small retail shops on North Street.
As for accountability, Tyre said her administration has been appropriately checked over the past 4 years.
The way we have been held accountable is we do our annual State of the City, where we talk to the people of Pittsfield and tell them just what we've done in this last year, where we're going next. And this is my way of bringing accountability right to the people of our city.
Less than a quarter of the city's almost 28,000 total registered voters turned out for the preliminary. The general election will be held from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on November 5th. Reporting from the WAMC News Berkshire Bureau at the Beacon Cinema, I'm Josh Landis.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Remember to stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.